Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 17th day of April 2021. And our subject today is going to be on caring, or what it means to care for ourselves. Every so often you will hear me talk about how we don't care for ourselves very well. And that brings up the interest, evidently, of people. They don't know how to take care of themselves. I know my parents never taught me how to take care of myself. It was always assumed once you were potty trained that that was the end of it, and you took a bath or a shower every day and brushed your teeth. A lot of people didn't, but I always did. Brush your teeth and, you know, take care of the meat suit, as it were. And so I use it in a different way, this word care, and I'm hoping that, of course, it helps you. I looked up the word care in the dictionary. The provision of what is necessary for health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. A serious attention or consideration applied to doing something correctly to avoid damage. And that, I like that one. What is care? How does one care for oneself? Well, this is really an important thing, and some of it requires something that most people have lost years and years and years ago. It's called common sense, and they just don't have any common sense. So when you start looking at a person's life, what should be the order of care? Well, everybody first would think that it would be the body, you know, as the definition, the health, the welfare, the maintenance, the protection of something or someone, as it were, your body. And that's about as far as people go. They don't take it any further. And that is a very sad thing, in my opinion. There's more to it. How do you know how to care? Let's take it a little further. And what is the most important aspect of us to care for? And where does it all start? Well, obviously, it may be traced back and led to the mind. And how do you take care of your mind, which is what I'm all about with the work I do? A lot of the things that people go through in the course of their life, they just don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know how to take care of their mind, and generally they don't take care of their mind. And what does that mean? And that's what we're going to talk about today with the questions. I am very intrigued by the idea that I have questions about this, because I do mention it to my students all the time. They'll say something or talk about something that's going on within them, and it's evident they didn't take care of their mind. They didn't take care of their life through how they thought, the way they thought, what they entertained, what they were obsessed by, compulsed by, things like that. They just didn't, you know, do very well. And so now it shows itself. And I want to say this to my younger listeners. You know, if you're in your 20s and 30s, the things I'm going to talk about now are very important for you to adhere to, because when you get to be 50 or 60 or 70 or even older, you're going to be, your life is going to be held accountable for what you lived when you were younger. And you're going to find that you have ramifications and consequences for the way you lived. So there you are. It's how it all works. Let's go to the first question. And this comes from Casey. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, how do I arrive at a better place in my life? Casey, if you were here, I could tell you more, but here we are on radio. So you need to understand, how do you arrive at a better place in your life. It depends on what you call your life. And it just depends on what you're talking about as a better place. I don't even know what that might mean for you. For some people, that would mean a better place to live, a better place maybe in your head where you're not so convoluted or you're not so worried or you're not so desperate or whatever. I don't know what you call a better life. And I also don't know what your life is like and what you're aiming at. But. With all that being said, I am going to assume, I'm going to make an ass of myself here, that you want the typical pedestrian mentality lifestyle. You want more money, be able to do what you want to do when you want to do it, that you want the health and the means of health to allow you to do whatever it is you need to do that makes you happy. maybe make you content, like looking out at at the sun setting in the ocean with a glass of vino and thinking that you have not a care in the world anymore and you can just sit there and enjoy it without worrying. Maybe that would be your sum and substance. And I think that's probably what most people would want in their life. So you're asking me, how do I arrive at a better place in my life where you get to do carefree living and all of that? Well, that's not the goal of life. In fact, life has no goal. Life is a progression. And there's a difference between the authentic life and the living we assume is our life. And because we live in such a chaotic manner inside, we never take care of our mind. We never observe our emotions. We live in a reaction to everything. Everything's about reacting all the time, reacting to this, reacting to that. Getting angry over this, getting angry over that. And then there is the whole idea of trying to control our life, to move it into a direction that we think is eat, drink, and be merry mentality, where we just get to do whatever we want. We think that is the ultimate freedom of life, which is to have enough money to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and however we want. So that's kind of the way it goes for most people. And of course, in all of that, there are always kickbacks, consequences, and difficulties. So what I hear you saying is, Casey, and if you were here, you could correct me, and I wish you were, you want life on the terms of easy come and easy go. You go your own way and do what you want. And if that is the case, then there are many people that achieve that in some fashion or another with money. And they just do what they want, when they want, as they want. And that appeals to them, but they never think about the consequences, because when it gets down to the nubs and you're stuck with your life the way it is and it doesn't unfold, you've eaten everything that can be eaten. I've talked about this before. You've gone every place imaginable, blah, blah. You've done and owned as many things as you ever wanted, and now there's nothing more or whatever. What are you left with? And that's the part that is the difficult aspect of it all. What are you left with? And I don't know what you're left with. I don't know what you're thinking about in the sense of yourself and the meaning of your life. I just don't know. But if you want to really accentuate your living and have something meaningful in your life, you're going to have to get beyond the body, and you're going to have to understand the relationship with your body and mind and what the body really is, which is biological. It has DNA, it has genetics, it has all sorts of chemicals in it. It promotes this, it denies that. And then you're going to have to maybe consider the state of your mind and what you have allowed it to become because you didn't discipline it. And people don't want to discipline their minds. They want to let their minds just go and do whatever their mind wants to do, wander here and wander there. And after a while, this wandering brings them to situations and conclusions that are less than kind to themselves. They start to live in the haberdashery of their own ideals, and they start to see that dressing the mind that way is just not relevant to what your body, your world, your life is really all about. You start thinking, I'm become obsolete. I can't control this thing anymore. When you let your mind just wander, you find that you're subservient to your emotions, and they take you down all sorts of corridors that you may not want to go down in the course of your lifetime. So you have to look at it and wonder to yourself, what have I done to myself? I can't focus. I can't concentrate. I know a lot of things, but I have knowledge about a lot of things, let's say, but I know nothing. There's all sorts of things going on inside. And I find people come to a place where they are numb, absolutely numb. And you're asking, you know, a better place? There's no better place than where you are. And when you find out where you are, you find out as you are, you find out the substance of your presence in this world, your life. You have made of your life what you have made of your life. You have made this life exactly what it is, and you have made it through the perceptions, the concepts, the beliefs, the genetics, the DNA. And how do you know if that was authentic? How do you know if that was really the way it is? How do you know reality? And reality is a perspective, and it's become an opinion. It's become a lot of things of late in this world, and we have missed so many things about our life. We really have. We've missed what we're all about, who we're supposed to be as far as society is concerned, and then we turn up to be what we think we are, and that doesn't fit with society. It just goes on and on and on. It's predicated all on ignorance. If you really want to take care of your life, if you really, really want to find yourself in a better place, don't build your life around your assumptions of yourself. That's all I can say. You need to find out the reality of the whole situation of whatever you call you. And if you don't build assumption, then you have a chance to see the reality of your livingness. It's just something you might want to look at. I'm running out of time and I gotta go. I hope that helped you, Casey. I really do. It was a great question, and thank you also for your kind comments on the side. I appreciate it. Please forgive me. Namaste. I could go on and on and on about that, but I won't. All right. How do I care for my life and not miss my life? And this is from William. He does not tell me where he lives. And people want to care for their life but not miss their life. Now, that's interesting. What if caring for your life is your life? What constitutes caring? What are we talking about here? What is the meaning of authentic caring? And miss your life. William, most people didn't even know they're here. You know, they live and live and live, and they eat, drink, and be merry. They do all the things they want to do. They never think about where they are, you know, on this planet. They don't think about what they are on this planet. They don't have any consideration for themselves or other people. They just want to go from one situation to another, from one condition to another, from one glorious emotional whatever that gratifies them to the next, and they want to sling together in a day as many gratifications as they can and call that macaroni, call that their life. And that's as far as most people go. You know, they don't want anything more. And I have talked to people for over 50 years on this subject, and it is true. They just want what they want, when they want, as they want, and they just do what they do. And they think that that is life, and they never consider anything else. And to consider self-reflection, maybe even self-examination, geez, I don't think anybody wants to do that. That is outside the whole thing. No way do we do that. No way do we do that. Do we have any kind of self-examination? So when you get down to it, by the time people realize that they are lost, by the time they realize that this life was more meaningful than they could comprehend, or by the time they realize there was a meaning in this life, it's too late. Lhotse said, do the difficult before it becomes impossible. If you've lived a life of gratitude and forgiveness, you have found the meaning of your life. If you have lived in the whole idea of trying to get everything you want, you've lived in the gracelessness of desire, ambition, and pride. If you have lived for gratification, you missed. And I don't care how many gratifications you've had, or where you've been, or how many things you've seen and done and eaten and whatever, even had intercourse with. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Because anything you do through the body is temporary. Everything is impermanent through the body. This world is impermanent because we make it so. We do not move along. We just want repetitive gratifications over and over and over again and call that a good life. So how do you care for your life and not miss? I'm going to give you the answer. You're not going to get it, but I'm going to give it to you. You have to want nothing with all of your heart. These are the words of the Buddha, and they are very true. When I was in seminary, all they wanted to teach us and promote was the idea of how to help people get what they want and call it God's will. That's basically all it was. That's not true. It's not true. Everybody, William, has a reason for being here on this planet. Everybody has a deeper purpose for their incarnation. Everybody does. And they vary in little things here and there. There's karma. There is this whole idea of facing something within ourselves that maybe we couldn't face before, we didn't understand before, we just didn't recognize before. Everybody has something. Everybody. I have something. You have something. You're hearing my something now. And if you don't catch that something, you'll miss. You will miss. If you don't care for your mind, what does it mean to care for your mind? It means that every thought that goes across it isn't a thought that necessarily means it's real or should be lived. You have to get into third person. You have to learn how to think in third person. This takes discipline, practice, and devotion. And if you don't learn how to think in third person, you will never see what your thoughts lead your life to. You will never see. And the thoughts of one person are not the same as the thoughts of another. We're all different. And how we interpret things is different. How we live is different. Everything is different for each of us. We can't just look at it and say, well, it's the same for everyone. It isn't. Everything is unique unto ourselves. So you have to learn to understand what are dangerous thoughts and what they're about. You have to learn and understand what are assumptions and not knowledge, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's so many things to learn and then to be aware of, and then to stand back and see where they lead you. And if you don't have that third person mentality, you will never be able to see the bigger picture. And that's what life is all about, dealing with that bigger picture. So there you are, my dear. William, there's so much more, again, I'd love to say, but I don't have time. But develop third person. That's the biggie. If you can develop third person, watching your thoughts, practice watching your thoughts and not being your thoughts, you will understand everything I just said, and there will be something authentic in your life, because that's what it's all about. Forgive me, William. Namaste. The last question I'm hearing, why do I miss, as you say, and this is from Cleo, and Cleo doesn't tell me where Cleo lives. You miss because you're not interested in life. You're interested in your living, but not interested in your life. What is life? What is the difference between life and living? Living is how Gregory likes to think of his everyday experience, filled with gratification and assumption and presumption. That's the way Gregory would love to live, and that's the way he has lived when he was younger. But now, when you understand that there is something to answer to, that this life is very intelligent, this existence is extremely beautiful, you start understanding that the living that you had or were living for isn't the life that exists, and how tolerant and forgiving this life has been in the graciousness of giving me one opportunity after another to awaken. And once that awakening starts to unfold, you don't want to stop it by not caring. The thing you need to care about is don't have assumption, don't live in presumption, don't live literally. Live within the confines of a discipline that allows you to step back from your mind and see it for what it is. And then to live consciously, well, that's the essence of it all. If you do, you will see in conscious living that there are consequences for everything we do. And if you understand your consequences, you will understand your living and how it wasn't leading you to your life. That is a very important insight. If it is ever gained in a person's life, they are never the same again. They can change. They can transcend. They can unfold. But you have to get to that point. And that's the point where the ego steps in, the emperor of all malice walks in, whispers in your ear, you weren't that wrong, you were like everyone else, you deserve this, you deserve that. You will hear all the alibis. You will know the emperor of all malice that lives within you by the alibis that it produces inside your head and your emotions, and tells you that you're just a wonderful person doing what you thought was right, and you have no reason to feel, you know, whatever. And that's what you have to understand. That is the big point of life that most people miss. So you want to step back, watch the mind. Don't trust your emotions, your impulses. As you observe and become more and more intelligent about your living, you will find yourself more and more awakened through love. I'm out of here. I'm on time. I got to go. I want to thank you all for your beautiful questions. If you ever have a question, dear listener, just email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. And you can listen to all the radio programs on the website at aspire.org. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.